Okay, we have a TSC Zoom. If you could please just update it with your name.
Oh, sorry, Chuck, it's me.
Oh, okay, no problem. Yeah. I have to do the same thing. All right.
That.
All right. Thank you. So greetings. This is the ORAN TOC meeting for November 11th, 2020. Welcome. We record these meetings, so if anyone is doesn't find that acceptable, please drop off or raise a concern. We will go ahead and get started today. The scribe for today's meeting is Masafumi-san. Thank you very much. And we'll do a quick roll call. I'm Jack Murray from AT&T. Jinri?
Yes, Jinri from China Mobile.
David?
Hi, this is David from the team.
John Paul?
Morning, Jack. Hello, everybody. John Paul from Ericsson.
Thank you. Masafumi-san?
Yes, hi, Jack and everybody. This is Masafumi.
Thank you. Huha?
Yes, hello. This is Huha from Nokia.
William? All right. Ganesh? And Vishwa, or Kristen from Verizon. All right, so we have six members, so we can, we have a quorum, so we can continue with voting on the matters. The next thing is to review the minutes from the previous meeting. Go ahead.
Hey, Jack, this is Ganesh. Just joined. Sorry.
Thank you. So Ganesh is here as well. So thank you. So we'll go ahead and review the meeting minutes for November 4th. Here's the recording and the agenda and who attended. The discussions and minutes as captured. Are there any questions, corrections, or discussion on the minutes from the November 4th meeting?
Jack, probably just one comment. I mean, it would be great if the recording could be uploaded as soon as possible after the meeting. You see, for some reason, I cannot get connected last week, and I tried to check the audio, the recording, but I didn't find it until I think yesterday or Monday.
Yes. Sorry, this is Masafumi. It's fine.
I fully understood. Yeah.
I'm sorry. That was my first time. So.
Yeah. I see. It's okay.
All right. Thank you. All right. Are there any other questions, corrections, or comments? All right, Masafumi-san, can you make a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes, I can make the motion.
Do I have a second?
Stream Paul, I can second.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Tier saying aye.
David saying aye.
Benny saying aye.
Any against say nay? Okay, the minutes from November 4th are approved. Thank you. So we'll return to the agenda for November 11th. And the next item is to ask for any additional agenda items that anyone would like to add for today. I would like to add something for give you an update on some discussions with ONF. So I'll add that to the new agenda items at the bottom. Under new agenda items, so if we get that far, I'll go ahead and give you an update on some discussions with ONF. And we should also add discussions with OAI down there. So even though OAI comes and goes, it's not on the current agenda list, I don't think, anywhere. So let's put it back on under new business. All right. Last call. Anything else for today's agenda? Okay. Release votes and approvals. Is there anything that's any votes that are outstanding and not approved at this point? Anything? Okay, so
I remember there was a request on the new repo.
Yeah, I didn't find the mute button. So there's one request for the libe2ap repo. And I'm trying still to find the right microphone.
And so there are now 3 votes, I think, in. And we need 5 in order for this to proceed. It's okay. On the outstanding resource request, I think, the link.
All right. We can just do a vote here since everybody's here online. Who made the request? Was it Maddie or?
Me, Toralf. Maybe if you can click on the outstanding resource requests on the left side there. And they're the top one. If you scroll down. Yep, click there. And then the first one there.
Okay.
So if we vote now, I would suggest that. Let me quickly introduce this again. So we figured out when we wanted to implement the XUP framework for Python that there's yet another place where we have again and again the same C library that is used for encoding and decoding E2AP messages. And this is just generated code that we generate using the ASIN1 compiler. And in order for make our life easier, we thought we extract that into a separate repository so that it's easier to reuse it again and again in the various components. This also simplifies, for instance, this Python XUP framework because it doesn't have to recompile this code as part of its build procedure. And this is takes quite some time to compile.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and the committers are suggested committers are down there. I think 2 from Nokia, 1 from Nokia, 2 from AT&T.
Okay. Now, obviously finding common code pieces is not unusual in software as you do development. Is it worth creating like a library repo where common code can be versus creating a new one each time? That's my only question is, think about how you want to proliferate, common code. And eventually the question is, do you kind of create a library of those segments or do you keep creating separate repos for some of that work? You know, I just don't want to have, you know, create dozens and dozens of repos going forward. If they're all for, you know, pieces of the library, just something to think about. I don't know if you've see us creating more repos for things like this. Does that make sense, Lerv?
I think this is kind of a special case because it's we have various places where we need it, and now with the XUp frameworks where we have them in Python, Go, and as C++, we just saw that each of those needs, where we have separate repositories, each of them needs this library, and it's just and it's exactly the same C library that is then adapted via language specific C adapters. So I think it's kind of to some extent a special case. Yes.
Okay, but if you see a pattern, you know, just as a general guidance to people, where possible, try not to think that you have to create a unique repo each time. If there's things that are common, look to find either some kind of library or common code repository that a lot of things could be done in, and not, you know, to proliferate a lot of repos just for library components. But we'll go ahead with this case. All right. Tharov's made a motion to approve a repo for the library E2AP. Do I have a second?
Yeah, I can second. Yeah.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Composer saying aye. Yeah.
Massa saying
hi. Ivan says hi.
And he says hi.
All those against say nay. All right. We've gotten approval for the repo. There you go, Thora. Okay, all right.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Any other votes or approvals out there? Okay. We'll move on to the copyright update. All right. We had a meeting last Friday, included the legal team and the ORAN legal team, Stefan, and the Scott Nicholas from LF. Scott has generated his blog material, and it is being reviewed. He hopes that it'll get through review here within the next week. It's certainly a something that we're trying to do a thorough job on. So, you know, he has a process he has to follow. He's at least generated the original material. So now it's just going through refinement. And so he can share that. We discussed a number of other topics. One is 3GPP copyright. And I sent some people an email asking for an example of a simple example of 3GPP specification that we think we'd need copyright permission to add to the open source software. We're trying to find a specific example to try to get the discussion a little more concrete. So if anyone wants to send me a specific example, that would be great. So, you know, obviously that's a number of people are working that issue. The copyright for ORAN Alliance, we've made some progress. We're writing something up that we can, you know, refine this Friday so that we can try to move it forward. So we're, you know, we're in that process of getting the words approved in the overall process. Where we're at is we're using the E2AP specification as an example, which is principally a spec that its really only purpose is to tell you what the soft, you know, that how to, you know, the requirements for that, for that software component, including a code snippet. So I'm using that as the example to work through. And we should hopefully get that some progress on that here quickly. Now we're kind of getting to that point, and it will include copyright forward permission, meaning that the goal here is to grant OSC permission to for copyright only, remember, materials, and then anything that is granted can, and then is in OSC, can then be used in other open source projects with the CC4 license in terms of copyright permission only. So we're talking about the documentation side. And then obviously if you have CC4, if it get, it can be copied into the code in Apache. So that's the mechanism that we're trying to work through. Any questions? Obviously this will be brought out to the larger community once we get the proposal in place so that people can get can review it and share it with the ORAN community. But at least we're, I think, talking more about, you know, not, you know, we're getting closer in the sense of, you know, trying to agree on the mechanisms now, not just talking about some of the general challenges.
So, Jack, so this was now for the discussion between ORAN-SC and ORAN Alliance, correct?
Correct.
And in parallel to that, we also still have a discussion with FreeGPP as well on similar correct. Topic, essentially. Okay.
Correct. I'm less involved in the 3GPP one. There are people who, you know, obviously the standards interface team and Dave Kinsley from is and a few other people are involved in trying to work the issue with 3GPP. So I'm a little less involved in that, other than pushing them that we need a resolution. All right. So that's
yeah, what's the implication of all this? I mean, we keep releasing our releases anyway, and ORAN Alliance is also releasing approved specifications. So I understand in the long run there may be an issue, but why is this such a, you know, difficult thing? I mean, if it's one thing to say that, okay, Cherry release cannot be released, you know, until we get this copyright clearance. But we end up releasing all our releases anyway, right? And ORAN Alliance is doing the same. So it will get resolved when it gets resolved, right?
Well, yes. So the challenge is, you know, copyright is a thing that has to be enforced. to really stop you from using the material. You know, we have an, you know, we have kind of an intent, you know, permission by intent, but what we're trying to do is close the legal gaps that, you know, it's clear that ORAN Alliance isn't going to sue ORAN OSC. What ORAN Alliance is trying to do is protect the clarity of the specifications. So obviously if we do something wrong in the sense of trying to rewrite the specifications and represent them as ORAN specifications, that would upset them, and you know, we would have done something wrong.
I guess it's more for vendors, right, who are actually building products.
Well, that it's for downstream communities who may be less clear about how they can use that code in other open source projects, and making sure we close these legal issues for the overall quality of the work and completeness. The 3GPP is a little more complicated. That's an external activity, but you know, it's we're trying to work through it. Like I said, they voted to approve several of them for us, but the you know, just because the EC approves us to use it doesn't deal with like carry forward permission, meaning that let's just say Project Magma, which is another open source project, wants to use some code from this. That's where it gets more difficult without getting these things cleaned up. So it's trying to get there while properly crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's. But you know, we have permission by intent, and so that's kind of why we're able to kind of move forward. But you know, just trying to make sure we, you know, we clean this up and get it it resolved permanently. So that's where we're at in the discussion. Masumi, so you're not going to be able to capture all those words. I mean, they're obviously in the recording, but just, you know, we're trying to get a clarity around the right permissions for things that are being used. So it's like anything, you strive to get all of the details correct.
Okay.
Sorry, Jack. Could I just make a quick comment back to Ritwick's question? I think the main issue is that there's lack of clarity. And one possible legal interpretation might be that the developers and, you know, the companies hosting those developers, and indeed OSC in general, are putting themselves at very significant risk at this stage by continuing contributions and continuing to release. So that's why we're asking for that clarity. And, you know, that the contributions up to now are really been in good faith, as opposed to on any kind of well understood legal standing. So I think it's time that we pushed on and got an answer here. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's ORAN related business. Jin Reed, do you have any updates for us?
Not very much, but basically, like on EC call this week, they also briefly touched this copyright issue, and some delegate from AT&T, I believe it's Brian Daly, who is the standards interface delegate. He mentioned that, I mean, the issue, the copyright issue with 3GPP is kind of a new ground, and no one tried this before. So this is kind of the long and difficult battle, but definitely, I mean, we will work together and go through that. So this is one thing. And the second thing is regarding MVP. So there is no much, I mean, so the progress, so the discussion on MVP is ongoing. Basically, the MVP group is discussing with each working group co-chairs regarding the MVP, regarding the war plan, work item for each working group. But that's just the current status. There is no consolidated conclusion or results coming out. So this is just for your information. Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Does anyone else have any items related to ORAN Alliance activities right now that they'd like to update? All right. So let's move on to open items. Let's see. One of the open items is the OCU. We approved a new PTL for the OCU. I don't see them on right at the moment.
Probably not. Jack, Shangushu is in the West Coast, so I think it's like 5 o'clock for her. It's a bit early.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure out what we do there. We'll have to, you know, it's hard to find the perfect time for everybody. That's part of our challenge. All right. Do you know of any updates there, Jinri?
Sorry, no.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
All right, but that's something we'll have to work out and find out how to move that forward. That's a major gap we have right now moving forward, and we're going to have to see where we're at. All right, so... Cherry deliverables. We'll get to that a little bit down here in terms of the integration and test discussion. But we agreed that the cutoff is coming here in a couple of days for the code. So we will, November 14th, we agreed would be the cutoff for some of the lingering code segments so that we can move on to the final testing and the final release package. David, you're going to pull together a poll for the e-release naming?
Yes, expect it later this week. Okay. I will send an email to everyone. To the list.
All right. Let's go ahead and go to standing. Our standing items. On terms of release management. This is where we are with Cherry. Today is the 11th. We're finishing up the sprint demo window and IST. So we'll move on to really at this point, I'm going to jump over Ritwick and I'm going to go to Felix. Can you give us a status of how things are going?
So you are... Is it Rook or Felix?
Felix, you go ahead, go first.
All right. So we have several meetings to teams to talk about delivering and deployment scripts to the IT dev repo. And we are in the process of setting up this for the OEM and SIM project and ODU. And the item, the idea is that at the end of the cherry release, we should be able to deploy all the projects from ITDAP. So that would be the entry point. And we are also talking to different teams to set up the OSC lab environment for testing. So there are multiple projects already ongoing. The SMO is doing some good jobs and making good progress in YARN model validations and the lifecycle management test case. And I'm working with the Martis team so on testing all the Travis Derry use case. And I'm going to arrange meetings with the near real-time RIC teams very soon to start testing their cases. And that's the update I have.
All right. How's the documentation going?
The documentation, actually, I just kick-started, and in the integration project, I created sessions about checking the cherry release progress and test and validation progress. And currently, that is, it doesn't have too much content. So I actually need help from all the PTLs. So I will send emails to each of the team. So the idea is that the PTLs please help populate what end-to-end flows, detailed steps that we need to carry out to verify the end-to-end flows. And so that's how I track the testing. And in terms of documentations, I don't know who is working on this. Is this integration?
Well, so there's a documentation lead in the projects here. Wei Chen has been doing this in the past. And, you know, so you can reach out to them and see where they're at. I don't see them on the call today.
Check, but I think in our previous calls, we also mentioned and discussed this documentation project. I have already conveyed this message to Wei Chen, and I believe he is working on this. So right. I would suggest him to give some update or feedback next call.
Okay, yeah. But you can reach out to Wei Chen, just connecting Felix to Wei Chen, right?
Yes, okay.
So you can reach out and connect to him. So there's activity going on. I guess the challenge is getting a kind of an introduction and an overview generated. So you can talk to kind of Ritwick and David about, this is always the kind of challenge we have, is who sits down and kind of pulls the pieces of the documentation together to create at least an introduction to get started. You know, so we at least need a document that people can land on that says, here's how to get started and here's where to go. You can assume a certain amount of knowledge, but at least so that they don't have to start from scratch to figure everything out. The other item is there is a license scan that you can work with Tristan on now that the code is, all the code needs to be in by Friday, that can be run so that we can then resolve any outstanding license issues.
Yes, we're going to mark these two down.
So that's something that has to be resolved before we can release the code. So these are the items. How is the testing going with the DU and the use cases?
Rubik is helping checking this project.
Yes. So the DU RU testing, that is moving ahead. So the DURU testing, essentially the status there is that the RU emulator with the TM500, that is still getting installed. The front hall server has already been installed. And so the next step is to get the TM500, which I think VRV is sending. They're shipping it. They were going to send me a tracking number yesterday. So it's imminent, but I think that will roll over to Dawn. And the DU low and the DU high pairwise testing, that has happened to a certain extent. They have tested successfully some messages, P5 messages, so over the FAPI interface. So that negotiation has happened. There are two modes in which the testing happens, timer mode and radio mode. I think they've done the timer mode testing. And the radio mode testing.
Rick, did we lose you?
I can hear you, Chuck.
All right, so then we lost Ritwick.
Are you there? Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're back.
Yeah, no, I was just saying that for CU, we're still waiting for Radisys to provide the binary version of the CU. Once that comes in, then I think we can hook up the entire system.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ganesh, are you aware of that item?
Yeah, so it was a delay at our end, some permissions and approvals and creating the package. So I'm hoping to solve it in a week's time. Hopefully by next meeting, I should have an update on the exact date by which we'll enable this.
Okay. So, Ritwick, that's all great updated information, but how do we get it folded into the documentation package so that, you know, other people can see this information without having to be, you know, directly talk to you or be on this call to hear the summary.
I can send some information to Weichen. He can, and obviously the PTLs of the DU low and high can also send information as to the level of testing that has happened. He can then document that. But I can do that. Yeah, I can take that action.
Yeah. All right. So as part of the, I think Felix has a role there too. As part of at least when we, wherever the, you know, we usually create a link at the end that says, you know, for the C release, you know, click here and we take them to a page and it kind of gives you a summary. It needs to have a link to kind of the project documentation that each project's team's been kind of maintaining as part of the release cycle. But it should also talk about, you know, these general things, overview yeah. of what has been done and what is known to work kind of activities. So I know it's a little bit of writing, but it's slides. Important that we capture. Yep.
Yeah, we have some slides. We can use those slides too. You know, to say exactly what the status is and what messages have been tested. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to track this in the integration team's wiki page as well. So that can be used to convert into a documentation that we can share for the Cherry release later.
Okay. Good. You know, it doesn't have to copy over all the information, but if it at least includes a series of links that takes them to wherever, you know, the different pieces of information are. It's helpful for people to be able to follow. All right, let's see. Anything else,
Felix? Probably just a tip. So, I mean, if you reach Weizen and if there is no response within that, let's say 2 days, then I would suggest that you can probably use our discussion list. And the reason is that somehow recently our company mail server just doesn't work very well. And there are several cases in which the email from Olin lines, for example, the meeting invites have been continuously rejected, bounced back. So just this comment. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Felix, anything else?
No, that's all I got.
Are you going to have a follow-up meeting today after this for the integration and test?
No, today we are going to skip the meetings. I'm going to reach out to individual teams instead.
Okay, no problem. So when we're done, we can just close it out. All right, Ritwick, any other items?
The CII badging, I still have to do this with Trishan as to which form needs to be filled. I think the job was to get Trishan to be the point of contact so that all the PTLs can provide the right information to him and he can update the webpage. But we have had some discussions with CII badging. I think yesterday Thoraf was discussing about in the near RTRIC which aspects to focus on regarding CII badging for basic passing requirements. So we've had some discussions there. I think I'd request all PTLs to at least look at the badging requirements. It's in the RSAC homepage under Dawn. So we could, if they could take a look and see maybe which one they can satisfy. For basic passing requirement. I'm just suggesting maybe one or two of those, not the entire.
Where would that be here? I don't see. I see docs.
So if you go to, contributions, wherever that is on the left, and if you go to committees,
all right, contributions. Because I don't see a D release yet.
Yeah, I think it's under contributions. Yeah, do you see that CII badging document under Dawn? Right there. Release Dawn, yeah. Right there, yeah.
Okay.
So Dawn release version 4 has some of the requirements that we discussed in the face-to-face, and CII badging requirements is the document that we obtained from Amy Zwerko from the SDFG team.
All right. So at least that's a place to start. Let's go ahead and take a look at that here while we're in this cycle. All right. Let's see if we can make progress on this badge process. I know it's mostly paperwork at first, to understand if there are gaps. All right. Let's see. Felix, there was this one action item underneath you for the resolve issues with the ICC compiler access. Has that been resolved?
Oh, no, yeah. That actually would take a while. And so this is something that we need to work very closely with Rich Wright and the T-Lab teams to set up a barrier. And that we need to plan very carefully.
Okay, so is that a barrier right now to complete Cherry?
Cherry doesn't depend on this. So okay. I think we are fine.
Okay, good. Then we'll move on to the PTL. So from a PTL standpoint, is there anyone that wants to raise any open items for blockers or concerns or something that they need to raise to the TOC? Let's see, is Mahesh on today? Mahesh, how's it going with the SMO? You know, I know it's new and you're trying to sort things out. Are things going okay? Anything we can do to help?
I think clearly the copyright is, of course, the one issue that is, I would call it, a overhang on ability to test. And we have discussed that in the past, so I won't go over that. The LCM package work is going on. There is a team that is now working on pre-standard implementation, something that we have agreed upon. And we expect that we should be able to demo that as part of the Cherry release. So yes, the work is going on in SMO. No major changes from what we had already agreed.
Okay. Do you think you'll be at least wrapping up something for the C release here in the next couple of weeks? You know, we kind of gave you a little bit of extra run room just to get at least be able to demonstrate some progress.
Yes, I believe, as I said, I think LCM step two is something we should be able to demonstrate. And we already have the test framework for the Yang model testing in place. So those two items are something we should be able to accomplish as part of the Cherry release.
Okay. Well, thank you and everyone who's been involved in making some progress there. I know we got a late start, but it's important and it's good work. Thank you. All right. Let's if one last call. Does any other PTL have anything they want to raise at this point? All right. New agenda items. Let me see if I reload. All right. So
maybe a question to John Keeney about you mentioned there was an A1 EI. Some code that has been built. If maybe Felix can get with John Keeney to test that, because I think in Dawn we are going to take that to the next step. So it'd be nice to know what exactly A1 EI code is there, and how would we test that using the A1 simulator at least.
Yeah, sure. That function. Am I on mute now? Yes, that function is delivered and ready for first testing now. We have function tests, of course, for that internally in the non-real-time RIC project. It's already tested with the A1 simulator as part of the non-real-time RIC. We do need to, over the next week or a couple of weeks, work with Felix to extend our deployment scripts to make sure that function is also deployed and that the dashboard function for that is also deployed as part of the non-real-time RIC deployment. So it's there and available for work, but it's not a cross-project as such function. We don't have a use case for it that's using it.
So in Dawn, project in Dawn we could do that, right?
Dawn, absolutely, yes.
With the A1 mediator catching the A1 enrichment information coming down from NRT,
Yes. Yeah, so I'm not sure what the near real-time RIC project their plan is around A1 enrichment information, but if there's a plan to push on with that in Dawn, yeah, we definitely will work together on that. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Excellent. Thank you.
Yep. Right. And so you're expanding a use case around to exercise some of that functionality. So that's what your plan is.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Yep. We've had some very early brainstorming around a use case, but it's still not fit for discussing, I think, on this call yet. But we're working through it.
Good. Yeah. All right. New agenda items. One is an ONF update. As we've talked about in previous meetings, they came out with a blog about their interest in aligning with ORAN Alliance and with OSC. So there's at least some overall planning discussions going on, still at a pretty high level about where you know, that coordination will come. I think there's work going on. They're going to make some getting involved in some of the specifications work. on the OSC side, they're particularly interested in XApps, the XApp APIs, and the developers kit or software development kit for the XApps, and you know, for us, we kind of group the RApps in that overall process. So these are the areas that they have particular interest and want to get involved. Just for people who aren't completely familiar, they built their own near real-time RIC based on Onos, which is their software base. And so one of the objectives is to try to understand how we can build XApps that would run in both environments. So some of the discussion will be what's the abstraction interface for the, you know, software developers kit and things like that, to make sure that both are following the ORAN Alliance specifications, and do we need to add specification work to do that. We also, at least I think I've heard that there's at least a third implementation of the near real-time RIC from another source. These kind of things will happen. I don't know, each of them will choose to use the code from OSC in the way that they intend to use it. So they may, at some point, they'll start joining the calls here and be, you know, bring developers to participate in the projects. Hopefully in time for, I mean, the goal is in time for the Dawn release, the D release. Any questions on the ONF? All right, OAI, we've been, Christian is organizing the OAI discussion. We've been on again, off again since the beginning of OSC with OAI. For the people who aren't familiar, there's, you know, they have their own implementation of an ODU, and so they kind of talk about the whole stack. The challenge is their licensing is not quite compatible at the lower layers with either Apache or the ORAN Alliance licensing. So it gets a little complicated in the discussions, but we're trying to see if we can do something similar to what we're doing with the Intel, ODU project, where, you know, they can bring it in as a block and we can use it as a test fixture, but contribute the open participate with the open interfaces and the other pieces that are common and make it work into the same, ODU framework and OCU framework that we have. So it's, you know, we expect that there'll be, you know, parallel options, but the OAA, you know, that's where the discussions are with OAI. So there's a couple additional meetings coming up, being scheduled to continue that discussion. Just wanted to give people an update that these things are going on, but they haven't brought, you know, they haven't come to this forum to do any integration or contributions yet on an overall basis. Any questions on either of those?
Jack, with ONF, were you thinking at some stage to create a new project, or is that?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out. They have they have their own tool chains and environments and things like that. So it's kind of complicated trying to figure out two projects that have gone down separate roads for a while, and now we're trying to decide what makes sense. I think the goal would be that common pieces like the software developers kit and the interfaces would be reused from one source, like the OSC repos, so that testing that's done, and once it works and is tested across, you know, different options, that all the downstream projects like an ONF use would inherit those kind of capabilities. So deciding about what's upstream and what's downstream is really part of the discussion. Right now, it's principally that OSC would be an upstream activity for them, which is what most vendors and people who are trying to build a, you know, either a production or a demonstration or a research platform would use OSC as an upstream activity and then do their build and use it. So that's where most of the conversation is currently at. But I think the concern is if they don't how do they interoperate and test and do demonstrations and utilize things from the ORAN Alliance and say they're ORAN Alliance compliant if you don't have any activities demonstrating that alignment or compliance. That's where it gets sticky. A number of entities claim that they're, you know, ORAN compliant, but they've never really participated in any of the testing or here in the open source community, or it's not clear that they're using any of the open source code. So what's the basis for some of these claims? And this is where it gets, you know, this is where the ORAN Alliance has to follow through and figure out how they're going to pursue those discussions. And that's kind of what's going on with ONF. They're very interested in being ORAN compliant, but what does that mean? So that's not quite the same conversation with OAI. OAI has some implementations that would be useful for demonstration and testing. They have a pretty significant software base. So are they kind of, I have to be careful this way, are they more of an upstream project to OSC in the sense of a test fixture environment? And then to make that happen, you know, it's like, much like we did in ODO Low, resources who want to make that happen have to come in and participate as part of the community. The community is not going to just throw resources at an activity if the people in that community aren't necessarily interested in that getting value from that particular investment. So these are the dances that go on in terms of trying to help sort out these kind of alliances. And Jinri and I get kind of sucked into the middle of some of these discussions. If other people, like I said, other parts of the TOC have been involved, like Christian is leading the one with OAI because of other parts of the relationship. So that they have with OAI.
So Jack, concretely, I know we're past the hour. If, let's say, we want to use the ODU from OAI, but OSC will build the E2 adapter to talk to their ODU, where would that code be built and maintained, the E2 part of it?
The E2 should be built in OSC.
And we will maintain that, and then we will just download the fixture from OAI and make sure that it works, right?
Correct. Just like we download the Intel FlexRAN code to as a fixture to make it work.
Okay, and if that fixture needs change as a result of us adding this adjunct E2, then we have to go back to OAI and have that conversation. Okay.
Because you want to fix that code in the upstream project.
Yeah.
And otherwise, every time someone in OAI makes a change, then that's you're getting deviation.
Okay.
It's easier said than done.
Yeah.
You know, coupling two projects like that, but that's where the discussion comes from, leads to.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then I'll ask: is there any other business that people would like to raise at this time? All right, then I'll go ahead and close the meeting for the ORAN TOC, November 11th, 2020. Thank you all for attending. You can turn the recording off.